chairman of the War Memorial Stadium Commission. We were talking about military appreciation, which will be that first Saturday game at War Memorial, which is September 7th. And there will be some events going on to honor veterans and some efforts to get some tickets in the hands of veterans. Also, want to let you know, found out that they do have tickets on site now. So you can buy them online, but you can also buy tickets at the stadium from 9 to 6, single game and season tickets. So you can buy tickets for one of those games or both of the games for the coming season for Arkansas. And, of course, it's Samford early, and I think it's the 23rd of November is the Mississippi State game.
Yep.
Are you on the record for what your expectation is this season?
Yeah, I don't know if I've publicly put it down. I think 6-6. I think they're going to go to a bowl.
I would like that. Any bowl game would be fun.
Yep.
I think this is going to be a fun staff to follow, a fun team to follow. And, again, I think the expectation level is very much, I don't want to say low, but I think it's very reasonable. I don't think a lot of fans are going, hey, if we don't win at least, because that was last year. It was like, if we don't win at least X games, it's a bad year.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? It was a bad year.
The staff, I think they're gonna show how good they are with the organization and then the physicality. And that may lead to the team being a little better than they should be, maybe, because you've got this veteran staff. It seems like so far it's very, very early, but sounds like the other thing I think that you can't overlook is in today's paper, the Democrat Gazette, Grady Allison is 300 pounds, a kid I saw a lot in high school, was very, very high motor and played defensive line a lot in high school. He's 300 pounds. You see pictures of Bray Cook, who was a put-together dude. Now he looks like, you know, a freak.
Chiseled.
And Kiero Small. And so that's Ben Herbert, the strength coach, has already done wonders. So now you're looking at a team that's going to be probably more motivated, maybe not as talented or deep, but better coach, and maybe that's going to translate in them developing and playing better.
More on the Razorbacks in just a moment. Also, you know what? I decided we're going to give away Bon Jovi tickets this segment. So we'll do that in about 15 minutes. So stay tuned on that. Let me get Sterling in here, and we'll get back to some more Razorback talk. What's up, my man?
Oh, nothing much. I want to first say how good a job you're doing. I'm just giving you the credit because you are the program director. Adding the Cowboys.
Do you say that now?
Call. Okay, thanks for the call. Goodbye.
No. If they disappoint, don't be mad at me, though.
No, I'm not going to be mad at you. I mean, I've been waiting for that a long time. I've been listening to them, and I'm on the road on AM stations coming in and out. So, that's a great pickup. The fact that y'all don't have a 15-minute break, I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm starting off somewhere else and they go to that commercial at 15 after, I'll turn over to y'all and, who knows if I get back or not? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean,
prefer that you don't. If I'd have known the Cowboys were so important to you, Sterling, I would have done it years ago.
But yeah, I mean, you're doing a great job, and I mean, you got some competition out there now. You know, I remember starting the sports radio, there's hardly none. Then the buzz came along, and now we got all these other stations, and that's making great for the listener, because you got to step your game up, they got to step their game up. Y'all gonna keep pushing each other higher and higher heights. I just want to say a tremendous job on getting that Cowboys deal.
Thank you, Sterling. I appreciate it.
You have a great day.
All right, man. Take
Variety
care.
Variety is the spice of life.
No, it isn't.
But our spice is just a lot better.
Oh, I like that. That's good. Can we get T-shirts maybe with that on there? We haven't gone into details on this. I've kind of alluded to it all week, though. Scout.com looking at an SEC West and East and overall look at the SEC. The thing that stood out to me the most, and I don't know what else to say, I mean, this is the thing that jumped off the page of me. And again, A&M's in limbo because nobody knows what to expect with them until, you know, the Manziel thing shakes itself out.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the odds are that he's going to
be
suspended
from
for
what
any
time? What I've read, the video, you would think that would be damning evidence, but for the guy that did it, the autograph broker, is going to have to talk to the NCAA apparently and allegedly, and he won't do it. So even with that evidence, they're saying that they may not be able to get him.
Hmm.
But I wanted to ask you, some people are defending him because, you can't, they should be getting paid and all that. Well, I understand that, but you still can't break the rules knowing that is the rule.
Right.
It's the rule, and they are well-to-do, I mean, from what I've heard.
Yes.
So just Don't put your team in that kind of situation. He's made some really stupid decisions, and I can't believe there's not somebody around him, parents, somebody that's like, keep a low profile and quit doing, you know, stupid stuff.
Well, a few things about a few things, and we've talked about all this before, but for those who haven't heard it, I mean, first of all, I'm not sure, and Wally points this out in his column today, Wright Thompson, who's apparently a renowned sports writer. I guess I'm not as familiar with him, but he's
ESPN.
Out of Oxford.
Yeah.
And he wrote a big column about it, and he followed him around closely for a period of time. And I don't know why they gave him the access. That, to me, is a bad – look, it's like LeBron James as people have gotten together, and they're handling Johnny Manziel now. Bad decision after bad decision. So, and then that's one thing. And that apparently it does not paint the father, Paul, in a very good light.
Really?
Yeah. So that's part of it. The other thing is, you make a great point. That's been my point all along. Whether or not it should be the way it is, it is the way it is.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter whether it's okay. Look, like I said, I use the Michael Beasley comparison. And look, you can say marijuana addiction, and I understand it's a little bit different than making stupid decisions like Manziel's made. But he knows specifically he can't do certain things and stay eligible to do what he likes to do. So Michael Beasley, for him, it's marijuana. He knows he can't smoke pot and play in the NBA, but he continues to do it.
Yeah.
Johnny Manziel knows he can't get paid to do anything and continue to play college football, and allegedly he did that. So you're right. I think there's probably a case to be made for whether it's the Olympic model or some kind of additional stipend or whatever. That's fine. But as it is now, everybody understands the rules. Got to play within the guidelines of the rules as they are now.
Well, and I think the bigger case here is that there's been a series of red flags and dumb decisions made, and this is probably the dumbest. And so I don't have that much sympathy for him because, you know, he should know better. He should know better. And it's not just him. It's the team. Because if he doesn't play this year, they're not going to be near as good. I mean, I don't see that. I don't even know who their backup is. I don't know if they're going to be as good with him because he's so distracted. I still have my doubts that they're going to be as good because he's handled things so poorly. I told you on the air a couple weeks ago, if they come out and don't play well right away and he has some setbacks, he hasn't had to deal with much adversity. And everything went pretty well for him last year. So what happens this year if he throws some picks? And is he going to get down on himself and go out and have a bender and, you know, get in trouble? You know, I don't know.
Something else Wally pointed out yesterday when it comes to Manziel is, you know, that he – yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you don't really know. This is something I pointed out, and he reiterated this yesterday, was the Kingsbury factor. And nobody's made a big deal about that. And, again, he may have no impact at all. And I think everybody respects someone as an offensive coach, and he's done a great job where he has been. He did a great job at Houston. He's done a great job at A&M. But how much – if anything, does Kingsbury weigh on that? I think Kingsbury is a pretty good coach. Now, he's the youngest college – I think he's the youngest BCS coach at 33.
Yeah.
Certainly, he had to have pretty good rapport, I would think, with Johnny Manziel.
Sure looked like it. I think they helped him through the process last year to get him through it, and they did a good job molding him. But
and like you're saying, with it, when adversity comes up, that's one more fail-safe that isn't there for him.
Yeah. And so I've just been really – shocked at how poorly he's handled this, and I know he's a 20-year-old kid, but I can't believe at the university, and I guess it's pretty telling that his dad might be one of those parents that's just like he's so gung-ho about everything, he's just like going to let him do what he wants to, but that somebody can't reel this kid in and say, don't go to Padres games and sit in the front row and throw out the first pitch, and don't go to Oklahoma City games and go back in the locker room with Kevin Durant. I mean, just keep a low profile. I mean, whenever you do that kind of thing and you tweet things, it's just it makes you look bad. It puts up red flags, and you know, then he does this thing with the autographs. It's just he's gotten out of control. He's beyond out of control.
Those things that he's doing. I mean, as far as if he's got the means to play Pebble Beach and go to NBA games, and
I guess.
Great, I mean, look, he's living that rock star life, and if you can, you would. I mean, most of us would. I can't fault him for that. I don't understand any. Reasonably intelligent, high-profile college athlete knows that if you tweet something out, it's going to be read, and if it's negative about the city you live in and it's your college town, that's a big deal. That's a bad move. That kind of stuff is questionable. Going to Texas frat parties, that's questionable. What good is going to come of that?
That could mean bodily harm for you. I mean. Really? What if he got the heck?
I know we're not in the same conference anymore, but we still hate you.
Yeah,
and we hate him.
I mean,
so
they dumped a beer on him, I guess.
Yeah, it's something.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe he's not as elusive as we thought. again, we're gonna give away some Bon Jovi tickets coming up in a few minutes. Okay, so here's the SEC West team by team breakdown according to Scout.com, and again, it's prediction season still, I guess, to some degree. I'm tired of it. We're ready for practice season, although again, it's hard to really have an evaluation of practice when it's not open, which. It's fine, and some people probably don't care, but They're expecting Alabama to win. That's no big deal. No big surprise there. Pretty conducive schedule. Best team in the country. No big shock. They do have A&M and LSU tied for the second best record in the West at 10-2. And they also mentioned the first thing they mentioned on offense for A&M, Cliff Kingsbury left his offensive coordinator job to take over the head coaching gig at Texas Tech. Clarence McKinney is the replacement. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and Sumlin, you know, he did a great job, and I think he'll continue to. But that is a little bit of a concern because Kingsbury, the interviews he did with you guys when he was here, there's a reason why he's a head coach.
Yeah, he's a sharp guy. Mm-hmm. Here's one that was a little bit surprising to me. Not that Ole Miss, they have picked fourth in the preseason, but Ole Miss at 6-6. I would think that would be a disappointing season with the schedule that Ole Miss has.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Mississippi State and Arkansas, Auburn, in that order. They've got Auburn and Arkansas tied for last place in the West. But they have every team, does Scout.com, going to a bowl game, or at least being bowl eligible at 6 wins. Hmm. They've got Auburn, Arkansas with 2 conference wins, Mississippi State with 3, and Ole Miss with 3. And they've got them all winning 6 games and going to bowl games.
Well, and I think that right there shows you why Bo Pelini's comments were really laughable. When you were going back a few weeks about the Big Ten. That is top to bottom, my friend. You've got that whole league going
to.
Yeah, well I think it's got potential to happen.
Yeah, if this Arkansas team with this Arkansas talent, with this Arkansas coaching staff is the last team in the West, that to me says, it's a pretty deep league.
And I know Pelini is upset about answering these questions, but.
He just wants to coach in the SEC again. You know he'll take the first opportunity he can to come back.
I think so.
Georgia at number 1 over in the East. And again, Georgia, I would love to see Georgia get another crack at Alabama in the SEC championship game and this time get over the hump.
Could happen.
That would be the least shocking thing that could happen this year is if we get a rematch of the SEC championship.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know what they've got back on each side, I guess. But you know you've got Aaron Murray. You got a great running back, actually a pair of them. And I'm assuming defensively they'll have enough back where they're going to be pretty darn good. We know South Carolina, what they've got defensively. They're expected to be second here. 6 wins in conference, 10 overall. Florida at 9-3, and I wouldn't be surprised if Florida won only 8 games this year. I don't know why I expect Florida to take a step backwards. I just do. They've got, this is the biggest shock in all of this. Missouri at 8-4.
I don't buy that. I just don't buy it. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. I don't buy it.
They're going to have to play pretty well if Pinkel's going to keep his gig, I would think.
Oh, yeah. No, if they have a losing season, I think he's done. But 8-4, that's...
I'm not sure how they're going to get... Now, they do get Vanderbilt, which is not a gimme, and they do get Kentucky. But I don't know how they're going to get 4 conference wins. Good luck.
Is Vanderbilt at home, or...?
I don't know. We have to look at the schedule.
Farrell Field's not exactly...
Intimidating?
Yeah.
It is kind of a cool setup, though. I like those stadiums, and there aren't a lot of them in the country where it's below ground level. You're kind of walking up to the top of the stadium. Yeah. Yep. Missouri... Again, I don't know what their schedule looks like, but I just don't see them getting 4 wins.
No, I don't either.
Although I thought
at their non-conference schedule, was it pretty light or did that?
They're playing Murray State to start.
Win.
That's August 31st. They should win. Yes, September 7th, Toledo. They should win.
Win.
Then they get an open week. Then they go to Indiana, which is not a gimme, but
a
game they should be able to win.
Yeah.
Arkansas State at home, and a lot of people have that circled as a catch game. There, I've seen a lot of people predict that either Arkansas State will catch Missouri or Auburn.
I could see that, yeah. They've got some talent there.
At Vanderbilt, they go. At Georgia. Florida
loss,
at home.
Loss.
Florida
loss.
At home. South Carolina for homecoming.
Loss.
Arkansas has South Carolina for homecoming also. Tennessee at home.
Could go either way.
That's their pivotal game, right? That's the game they got to have. At Kentucky, they should win. At Ole Miss, not a gimme.
Not a gimme.
That's a tough game.
Yep.
And A&M, I don't see 4 conference wins here for them.
No, I don't either. But certainly, Pinkel would take that because that would save his job. I think if they go to a bowl, it might save his job too. But, 8-4, that's awfully lofty. I think they were caught way off guard last year. I remember hearing some Missouri fans talking about how they're going to beat Georgia, you know, and all that. They're all psyched up for that, and then they got their head handed to them.
I don't think they're beating A&M at home, regardless who the quarterback is, because that's the last game of the year. And if you were going to catch A&M without Manziel, you want to get them early.
Right.
At Ole Miss, they're not winning that game. They could win at Kentucky. I guess they could beat Tennessee at home. They're going to have to. They could win at Vanderbilt. I don't know how they win at Georgia. Then they got to beat either Florida or South Carolina at home.
I don't see
4 wins.
No.
But maybe. That's a tough deal for them. Okay, Tennessee at 6-6, another bowl eligible team. So, again, if you're keeping track, that's 11 teams.
Yeah.
No. I'm sorry. That is 12 teams so far bowl eligible in the SEC, according to this. Make it 13 with Vanderbilt. The only team that Scout.com does not anticipate going to a bowl or being bowl eligible is Kentucky. 13 bowl teams?
Yeah.
That would be cool. I guess, does everybody have a slot? Do you have 13 slots somewhere?
Yeah, somebody won't make it, I guess. Then they'll put them in there somewhere.
But. That would be pretty amazing to me. One more clip here from, this is from Randy Shannon, who we've not heard a lot from in recent weeks. Did get a chance to visit with him when he was down here for signing day in The Rock. Very impressive guy. Certainly the most, as we've said before, the most overqualified linebacker coach in America.
Yeah.
But certainly a great asset. Don't know how long they can hold on to him in that role. I mean, if there was an opportunity maybe down the road, if Chris Ash went somewhere else and they wanted to promote him to defensive coordinator, might be able to keep him a little bit longer. But I got to think somebody's going to snatch a guy like Randy Shannon up at some point, whether it's as a coordinator or as a head coach somewhere. There he is talking about practice yesterday.
But it's unbelievable today. You know, we've been out here for 2 days. This make our third day. And the energy was unbelievable. Guys flew around and had fun today, the excitement of it. And it's been a long time since they put on pads. It's been since November, and I think these guys are really buying in and really understanding what we need to do here to get it done.
Players like to put on pads. I can remember talking to Kiero yesterday, and he said, we want to hit somebody. And I just wonder if everybody had that attitude.
Always. That's why you play football. If you didn't want to be hitting somebody, when you go play baseball, you know, that's one of those sports that you can play. Oh, let's go play some golf. Golf is a real sport that you don't touch anybody. But this sport is a violent sport. It's a sport that you enjoy. I think the fans enjoy it. America. But the problem is, three of them had to play different positions. One was a utility guy and the other guy was a special teams guy, which I never used. So building depth is vital because of injuries, soreness, things like that happens. And then you have to have a chance to buy a game for somebody to get healthy. And I think that is very vital to what we're trying to get done. It's unbelievable. They're having fun. They got their mentality where they want to go out and improve every day. They want to be a defense, and especially as a linebacker group, they want to go out there and perform to a high level. And I think those guys have ticked the next step, but they got to stay on top of it. Like we say, consistency is the biggest thing that we need to have.
Really curious to see what he does with that group. Most people going in, especially with the pass defense Arkansas had last year, were like 112th, I think, in national pass defense. More worried about the secondary than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I think the secondary is going to get a little bit of a reprieve because the defensive line is going to be able to put pressure on a fairly consistent basis.
Yeah.
I'm more curious about what he can do with that linebacking core. He's a great coach. You know, does he have enough talent for that to be a top-notch unit? I don't know.
And I think that Martrell Spate could be a wild card there. He's an All-American junior college guy. Mm-hmm. Was a good high school player, but I think he improved. He's going to have to, I think, really be good to make an impact there in the SEC, but it looks like maybe he's done that. If he does that and is that kind of player, that's going to help that core a lot.
I'm going to get my question together here in the break, so we will be right back. We'll do Bon Jovi trivia for a chance to win tickets so you can be there with Nate Olson and his wife.
You bet.
This is AC/DC. They're not playing at Verizon.
I'll tell her to keep her bra on, though.
That'd be good. You keep yours on, too.
Okay.
I'll keep mine on. Crazy Mike also will keep his on. Today is All You Can Eat Wings, and if you're already ready for the weekend, it'll start feeling like the weekend if you go over to Crazy Mike's, load up on some wings, maybe some Hush Puppies. Hush Puppies, Daddy. 200 North Bowman Road in Little Rock, Arkansas. Just off of Markham. 501-907-MIKE.